Blog Talk Radio.
There we go. This is Lou Hsu. Hello there, and welcome everybody to my latest edition of the WTFF Files with Louis Hsu, which would be me. The WTFF, standing for some of my four favorite words, what the flying fuck? And there's been a lot of that ever since, well, even before the pandemic, but even more so lately. Today, I want to talk about a man who is on the opposite end of my spectrum, Elon Musk, and I hope Elon is listening. The idea here today is to see if maybe I can give Elon Musk a clue, because he seems kind of clueless as of late. He hesitated on spending billions and billions of dollars. Wow, I wish I had billions and billions of dollars to spend. If I did, I certainly would have a TARDIS by now, but I don't, because I don't have the money. But still, there's a lot of things going on here with Elon on a daily basis, even. Even today, there is how he's defended his financial stewardship, arguing that the social media platform, currently known as Twitter, would have faced a negative cash flow of $3 billion a year. How the flying fuck can you burn through $3 billion a year? That's a good question, I think. Deserves a good answer. He has not been very forthcoming. He's having these polls. Now, I do polls all the time myself, but mostly over trivial matters. He came out with a poll that said that asked if enough people voted for him, if they wanted him to leave the helm of Twitter or not. And I can't help but wonder, is this how he runs his other companies like SpaceX and Tesla and Starlink, three of the biggest names that are out there today? It makes me wonder, because with Twitter, Twitter is full of bots, has been full of bots for years and years now. And even now as I speak, and as I rearrange here, because I had to do the show a little differently here today, just bear with me here a moment. I don't do some videos like other people. I watch these videos with a friend of mine and Mr. Bean. There's several others like that. They're edited to where there is no dead air time. I can't do that, at least not with audio. Ooh, that felt good. Yeah, I know. I did that. I did many things. But, yeah, there are these bots, and I'm trying to find the story here, and I'm lost. Just bear with me here a moment. There we go. I think I found it. Yeah, here we go. The public polling, blah, 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 blah. With less than $100, it is said. This was just posted today in Fortune magazine. This was originally on FT.com. They blocked me because I'm not a subscriber, so I had to Google for the story. With less than $100, one can buy tens of thousands of votes for Twitter polls using bot-for-hire manipulation services, according to the nonprofit digital rights group Accountable Tech. I want to contact them after the show, and I probably will. But the finding, first reported on Bloomberg, could spark new concerns about Musk's reliance on the tool to chart the future of one of the world's most influential social media companies. Now, he spent months before the accusation claiming that Twitter's user numbers were fraudulent due to the preponderance of bots on the platform. Lately, he's been claiming the problem is resolved. He has said overall user numbers have gone up under his leadership. That I highly doubt, because every day since he's taken over Twitter, I have seen hundreds and thousands of people flock away from Twitter. Mastodon is a big one. I got an account there myself. There's other services out there. I'm still kind of sort of stuck on the surveillance that is Facebook. But I digress. There's no evidence, he says, that the number of bots has decreased, though, or so the article reads. Not only are bots flourishing under Musk, it's now easier than ever to use bots to manipulate Twitter. Part of that is probably because one of the first things Musk did is he fired hundreds and thousands of people. And quite honestly, I'm surprised that Twitter is still working. I fear that if something major breaks, it's going to stay down for a while. But these polls are not very transparent. And I'm kind of sort of an election security expert. I'm unlike most of the people and most of the hackers out there. I've actually hacked into voting machines, okay? I've done this legally, okay? And I still have some theories I want to test on how electronic voting machines can be hacked. But I consider myself one of the good guys. If I wanted to be an evil hacker, I would be just as rich as Elon Musk, okay? I'd be somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Japan, or maybe I would be like Kim.com and hole up in New Zealand. Can't say as I blame him. The U.S. government doesn't like him anyways. But my point being, if I were some evil hacker, I would do that. Instead, guess what I do? I'm a poll worker. Mostly here in Lehigh County, but I've worked in other jurisdictions as well. I've been a judge of elections recently. I've done various, I've consulted on various recounts throughout the state of Pennsylvania, having experience there again here in Lehigh County. So I know a few things. In addition to all the voting machines that I've hacked into, I've been voiding warranties since 1975. And I'll explain a little story here quick. The Christmas before, Christmas 1974, I got my first radio for Christmas. It was a Evel Knievel Rocket AM radio. If you remember Evel Knievel, he tried to jump the Snake River in a rocket of some kind. Normally he does a motorcycle, but he tried a rocket. And if I recall correctly, he failed. But I love that radio. I love being able to tune into talk radio, New York City, Chicago, wherever else I could pull in an AM station. But then my curiosity got the best of me one day, and I decided to tear it apart. Unfortunately, I couldn't put it back together, at least not for a little while, until it was my grandfather. Lewis Hunt was his name. He's the man who raised me. And he's the one who showed me how to solder the wires back together to where it was. And a couple weeks later, I actually got it running. And then I don't remember what happened. I may have smashed it when I tried to throw it over a ditch or something like that. But that's another story. The point being, that was the first time I voided the warranty for an electronic device, and I've been breaking them ever since. I've had a ham radio license for many years now. My call sign is KB3PDI, in case you want to look that up, and it would point directly to my office, or at least that's how it's supposed to work. But in addition to all that, like I said, I've got plenty of embedded experience. But back to Twitter. Elon and I really want to talk to Elon because I think Elon can help me out with some of the big think ideas that I've been coming up with over the years. One good example, how to rob power from hurricanes. And here's something where Elon Musk and his gigafactories could come in handy. How? Let me explain. In the Gulf of Mexico, which is a hotbed of hurricane activity, there are at least 11,000 pull oil out of the under the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. These oil derricks are basically like small little towns or small little villages. They got a few hundred people on there, support staff and all that there. They have their own power. And they're grossly underutilized for the purpose of removing heat from the water and expelling it elsewhere. Now, there's a couple of different ways this can work, but those oil derricks and the oil companies that manage them can play a large part in cooling the water in the Gulf of Mexico at least several degrees, to a point where if a hurricane were to pass over the Gulf of Mexico, past Florida and Cuba and all, if a hurricane were to get in there and the water were cool, hurricanes can't form very well over cold water. The water has to be hot. And usually the water of the Gulf of Mexico is quite warm. Same thing with other parts of the Atlantic during the summertime. And in fact, this could be expanded maybe elsewhere. So back to the idea of robbing power from them, there's a couple of different ways it can be done. My original idea was to use like thousands, if not millions, of Peltier junctions. Now, for those who don't know, Peltier junction is a semiconductor that electronically moves heat from one side of the junction to the other. The idea behind that, it works like an electronic refrigerator. Marlboro used to sell these coolers. They used to give them away 20, 25 years ago, and they're still sold out in stores nowadays. I got one here in my office. They work either off 12-volt DC or 120-volt AC, and I've torn those apart too, and on average, I got a few engineering samples here around somewhere, but they're usually about maybe 1 to 2 inches square, and you can get them in bulk from Mouser Electronics or Electronic Gold Mine or some other thing. But imagine for a moment if one of these Peltier junctions were to put in a small boat, say, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 feet in diameter, not very big, set it up with a heat sink, a couple of fans, Raspberry Pi to control all the circuitry. And the idea here is with these Peltier Junction boats, say, for example, if you get a million of them and you put them all around this one oil derrick, for example, these Peltier Junction boats can remove the heat, microscopically small, yes, but scale it out a little bit. Put 10,000 of them, 100,000, maybe even a million of these boats, preferably with bigger heat sinks, bigger Peltier junctions. How big do they make a Peltier junction? This would be a good question for the Gigafactory workers from Elon Musk. Can you make it? And how many can be made? It's a question of scale, okay? How much do you want to spend on making all these devices to remove the excess heat from the Gulf of Mexico versus how much money did Hurricane Katrina cost? How much money did that other hurricane cost when it crashed into New Orleans? Hurricane damages are expensive, especially in New Orleans, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Why not spend millions and millions of dollars on hurricane remediation, hurricane power sucking, for lack of a better word, neuter the ability of the hurricane to energize and draw more water? There's other big think ideas I have as well. The biggest one, though, and this is the one where Elon himself could help me the most, is the idea to create or to transform Twitter, or at least part of it, into a social media partition where the registered voter can participate directly with other registered voters in their political district to conduct legislative business, say, for the local city or the local county, and by extension, state and America. This is something I originally proposed back in 2012. It's on realchange.us, the gist of it all. And hopefully, if Elon is listening, I can handle, I would love to be able to discuss further details with this. Unfortunately, 30 minutes tonight is not going to give me enough time to get into everything. If you want more information on that specific idea, as well as about 30 other ideas that I've got going, go to shoopforcongress.com. I tried running as a write-in candidate last year, didn't do very well. Not stopping either. I'm not giving up. I may even be able to get on the ballot in 2 years' time, and I'm hoping to. But until then, we got a caller coming in, and time is wasting. So let's try out this caller here. Let's see. I got this right now. There we go. Try that one. Hello, caller.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi. Hello, Robert.
This is Elon Musk. With an offer that you can't refuse.
From Missouri, and show me.
I like your ideas very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello. Oh.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, I'd like to make you my CEO at a salary of $1 million a year. Will you take it?
Oh, hell yeah. But not before we get to the job interview first. Actually, that was not... Thanks for calling in, Robert. But I was able to guess so far, at least. Like I said, the idea with direct democracy, the idea I had back in 2012, there's no way I can explain that in 30 minutes. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. What do you think about this whole Elon Musk thing with Twitter?
Well, no, I think he messed it up. I personally think it's going to go under. But I also think that he hopes that Truth Social goes under and then he can take up the mantle from Truth Social and make a lot of money. That's my suspicion. But I think you're right. But more importantly, I think your idea of using Twitter to get in contact with registered voters, you know, who can exchange ideas and talk about issues, I think that's a very important idea. And I did when you first published it, too, on Real Change.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, as I said, for anyone who's listening, that would be on Real Change. Look for the gist of it all, because that was the first inkling I had of this idea back in 2012. And I have expanded on it at various points over the years, either with writing or on previous episodes of the WTF Files. But, yeah, Elon, if you're hearing me, come on. Get in touch with me here. Let us spend some time talking together, and I can show you how to make money with Twitter. Okay, there are ways that this setup can be used to make money, but, and there's a very big but on this, the section where voters where the registered voters are talking to each other and talking to the people they elect, okay, I'm very stringent on this, and I've not been a fan of surveillance. I've not been a fan of the surveillance capitalism that has infected our country and, by extension, really infected China. China is going through so much bovine manure, and they built out their surveillance much, much more than the corporate surveillance we have here in America nowadays. The mass surveillance that we have here in America is actually not instituted by the government. It's instituted by social media like Twitter, like Facebook, and many others.
Yeah.
And that bothers me, that Google. Political discourse should go through that. Uh-oh. I say, uh-oh, I might have another caller here.
Oh.
And I've got 9 minutes left, so I'm going to bring on another caller here. This person could be anybody, so I don't know. Let's find out. Hello. Hello, hello, hello there. You are on the air.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay. I came across your show, read your description page, kind of long. And you're talking about how aliens should contact you. He's not going to contact you. I hope you don't have these expectations. And the other thing I'm calling in about is that you say you can grab energy from hurricanes. So I'm curious about that. How does that happen?
Well, as I've been explaining before, the idea is to build these devices and set them loose in the Gulf of Mexico, the idea being to reduce the temperature of the water in the Gulf of Mexico. Even if it's reduced by a degree or two, it may be able to reduce a Category 5 hurricane to a Category 3, or if you put enough of them out there, even less.
Okay, and how do you grab energy from the hurricanes?
Earlier in the show, I explained the concept of what a Peltier junction is. Peltier junction is a semiconductor that electronically moves heat from one side of the surface to the other. And I've already built a demonstration model, so to speak, where I stuck it in the pool, and it was able to reduce the temperature of the pool by 5 degrees by itself. But by itself is not going to work, obviously. You need thousands, if not millions, of these devices in the path of a hurricane. And the Gulf of Mexico stands out particularly because the water heats up more, so there's not that much external circulation in the Gulf of Mexico. And with 1,100, at least 1,100 oil derricks, these devices can be tethered to these oil derricks to provide power and support as well as a home base for when they're not needed.
Do these oil derricks, do they survive hurricanes?
Yes, they do, but generally...
Well, they do. Okay.
If a hurricane comes through in the Gulf of Mexico, the oil derricks are more or less abandoned because of the potential for damage.
Mm-hmm. But more or less, or let's say even more, I'm going to assume that at least 90-95% of these derricks in the path of a let's say a Category 5 hurricane will still stand upright with minor damage. And to these derricks, you would tether these particular devices that would grab the energy from wet the water or from the force of the hurricane itself?
The energy would either come from the oil derricks or, more likely, solar panels that could be installed on top. That would drive the fan. That would drive the Peltier junction, because remember, this is a semiconductor, so it requires electricity. And what it will do is it will pull the heat from the water and expel it into the air. The idea being that hurricanes energize and strengthen over warmer waters than they would colder waters. So the warmer the water, the more powerful the energy the hurricane becomes. But if the water is not that warm...
Right. Then that lessens the power of the hurricane. But if it does that, then will you be getting the full force of the hurricane to create the energy that you desire?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question. The idea here is to prevent the hurricane from growing stronger.
Oh, okay. Because to me, it seems as though
with these devices in the water, it cools the water so that when the hurricane passes over the water, it can't draw as much energy from it. So it can't grow as big.
Okay. Now I got you. What I was thinking was that you were going to use, that's how I phrased my question, how are you going to get energy from the hurricanes? So in other words, what your goal is to kind of dissipate the energy from the hurricanes so that they're not destructive, not necessarily to get energy and then change it into electricity.
Right. No, that's something entirely different. Although that's a possibility down the road as well. Depending on if, say, for example, I would get a hold of Elon Musk, which I'm not expecting it, but it would be nice because he has the technology to build these things. He has these gigafactories that can make all manner of things once they're programmed correctly. And in the case of these Peltier junctions, I would literally need hundreds of thousands of custom-made Peltier junctions as well as other parts. Excuse me. And he would be the man to do it.
I'm sure he has the capability of about building anything that's mechanical or electronic. At the same time, in order for him to be interested in what you have to offer, you're going to have to create some demo models that would have to be effective on a scale that would convince Musk that these things, if they were made to scale in real life, would actually do the job. So you have your task ahead of you.
Well, if you would get in touch with me, I would easily arrange that. I could easily arrange to build a demo model if you were to get a hold of me. I have most of the pieces here in my office even right now.
Well, and I'm sure if Musk got a hold of me, I'd be able to accomplish some things too.
That's just one of the things. That was just one of the think ideas that I had. The biggest thing, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, is to create a partition of a Twitter, so to speak, where registered voters, mostly in America, obviously, but make it a hyper-local social media experience where the registered voter can talk with other registered voters in their political subdivision. This can be scaled from local media, local governmental jurisdictions like cities, townships, and such, and scale that up so that – that means I have to end the show. Dang it. If you want to hear more about that idea, go to realchange.us, the gist of it all, where I explain the basic process of creating a social media organization that is useful to the registered voter. With that, I'm going to have to cut off here for now because my host here is about to cut me off. But thank you all. But thank you for calling in, and stay tuned because there will be more. There will be more shows. There will be more writings.
More to come.
I write at realchange.us. And I'm on Facebook as well, Louis Shoup. Look me up on there. Even though it's corporate surveillance, I'm still dealing with it, and there'll be more about that as well. So thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for listening, and see you all in the funny papers.
Okay, take it easy now. Bye-bye.